When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle. Or a home invader looking for an open window. A jilted lover looking for revenge. Or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm stupendous. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We're on day 3 now. Can you believe it?
Day
already.
Three. Three is company, dude. I was trying to think of, yeah, you know.
Have you gotten all your Christmas shopping done yet?
You're funny. No.
No. My kids haven't even really given me anything. And I'm like, it's going to be a cash miss this year if you don't hurry up and tell us.
Well, that's
and don't even think of its
age anyway.
I know. Don't even ask me for anything that has to be ordered because it ain't going to get here in time.
Well, that's okay. It's love. It can be just a love Christmas.
They're 13 and 15, so the cash will be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
cash and clothes. Cash and clothes.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all good. All good. What do you got for us today?
Well, today, Jen, I have a case for you is what I have. I have a case for you on day 3. I do, believe it or not. So you ready to hear it?
Yeah.
We are headed across the pond to Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
Glasgow, Scotland. Yeah, no, I can't do whatever.
Yeah, know. Don't do.
I'm not going to. But you know, I love it. I do.
I really do. I know. If you were better at it, I would say
I'm terrible. They all sound the same, but it's so fun. It's so fun to talk. Okay. It is late in the 1960s, and there are lots of changes happening in and around the world. As we know, you and I were born then, so that right there is a huge change, and
you're welcome.
You're welcome, everybody.
Change for the better. Thank you very much.
That's right. Glasgow had been ravaged over the years, but the town was investing in herself. Fashion and music were bigger and better than ever before, with the young generation leading the charge. The young adults were heading out and partying in clubs all over Glasgow, wearing their finest attire. All that came to an abrupt end in 1968, when a killer came to prey on those young women. On February 22, 1968, a young nurse by the name of Patricia Docker went out for an evening of dancing and drinking. Now, Patricia lived at home with her parents and her 4-year-old son. This night, Pat was looking for a night out. She just wanted to go dancing, you know, let her hair down.
Girls just want to have fun.
They just want to have fun. So she had told her parents that she was going to a dance hall named the Majestic Ballroom. Now, as she headed out, said goodbye, on the way to the Majestic Ballroom, and this is a terrible change looking back, I'm sure, but she changed her mind and decided to go to the Barrowland Ballroom. Barrowland Ballroom, on this particular night, was holding an over 25 night. I just thought that was funny, because, okay. Meaning all the patrons had to be over 25 years old. It also meant And this is why I didn't quite first get it. And then I was like, ah, okay, I got you. Because it is the late 60s, and you know what was happening about that time, Jen.
Late 60s stuff?
Yeah, late 60s stuff. Mm-hmm. It means that men and women would often go to the Barrowland Ballroom, and let's say they would use fake names for a night of adult fun, if you know what I'm saying. Patricia, or Pat, was married at the time to a Royal Air Force corporal, but they were living apart.
A key swap type deal, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they're all 25.
They're all looking for love.
Looking for love.
No commitments.
No strings attached. Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometime during the night, Patricia would meet the man that would eventually end up taking her life. He was said to have reddish brown hair and be somewhere in his 20s, probably late 20s. With drinks in hands, the two small talk the night away. They are seen leaving together. The following morning, a man on his way to work stumbled upon a naked woman behind Carmichael Place. It was just after 7 a.m. The woman would turn out to be Patricia. And this was only two streets away from her parents' home, from her house. She was found two streets away. She had been beaten, strangled, and raped. And here's an interesting thing. And at first, I didn't understand this tidbit, but it becomes important later. She had been menstruating at the time of her attack. Now, this was not thought to be important, but later we understand it is. Her clothes and purse were nowhere in sight. Police continued to work on the case, but just 18 months later, the killer would strike again. 18 months passed without a break in Patricia's case. It was August 15th, 1969, when 32-year-old mother of three, Jemina McDonald, went out for a night of fun at Barrowland Ballroom. Now, she was last seen during the night hanging out with a tall man who was said to be in his late 20s, early 30s. She was seen leaving the dance hall with this same man and would never be seen again. Jemina's sister Margaret, who was watching Jemina's children that night, became concerned because her sister didn't come home as she was supposed to. Now, for whatever reason, and I think this is a little odd, 2 days go by, but Margaret goes out looking for her sister. Margaret would learn that her sister was last seen with that red-haired man. She had an immediate bad thought. As she was out looking around, she came upon a group of children that were playing, and the children told her to go check out this derelict building because they claimed, now they're kids, mind you, but there was a dead body in there. And so Margaret did go, and it was there that she found her sister, raped, beaten, and strangled. But this time, Jemina had all her clothes on. Also important to note, she had been menstruating as well. Police go door to door to see if anybody had seen anything or heard anything, anything that would be of interest or seem peculiar to them at that time. The police found a neighbor who claimed she had heard someone screaming, but she couldn't be sure what time it was. While that tip was interesting, they were never able to see or make that connection that it might have been Jemina. So they hit the streets, but once again, come to a standstill. Nothing's happening. The killer would strike once more on Halloween night, 1969. Just like the other two victims, 29-year-old Helen Paddock went out to have a night of fun at the Barrowland Ballroom. Her husband warned her to be careful because a madman was on the loose. Helen, however, was not scared because, guess what? Her sister, Jean, was going to go with her. So that eased everybody's mind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there Jean, is safety in numbers, but
well, not when you separate. Jean would later say that the two of them chatted up lots of fellows that night. Two of them were named John. One had a surname of, she would say, Simpleton or Templeton, something like that. She couldn't remember exactly. One of these men claimed to be from Castle Milk, while the other never said where he lived. The group enjoyed a night out of fun, and it was a good time for all of them. When the party was wrapping up and it was time to go home, John from Castle Milk hopped in the bus, waved, said goodnight, and went home, while Helen, Jean, and the other John hailed a taxi ride home. Helen was married, but she never divulged this to John, per Jean. So Jean says that. Adult fun again. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder how her husband felt about that.
Not well. I watched an interview with them. Jean was dropped off at her stop, which was her home, while Helen and John remained in the cab, and they would continue on to their homes. Sadly, Helen would never make it. Helen's body was found the next day, and while her death was similar to the other victims, the killer changed it up a bit this time. Helen's purse was missing, but all the contents were dumped near her body, almost on top of her, kind of like a gesture of, here you go, dump.
Right.
Helen had fought for her life. Helen, just like the previous two, had also been menstruating. This time, the killer placed her sanitary napkin under her armpit and left behind some semen on her clothes. If only they had DNA in 1969.
No doubt.
So here we get a little bit of information that police could use. They're pretty excited about this. Jean, again, which is Helen's sister, said that the man was named John, but he was kind of odd in the sense that throughout the evening, he would quote Bible passages throughout the night. So, of course, you know the media, you know the press. Mm-hmm. His moniker was born, Bible John. Bible John would talk about what a sin adultery was and how much he disliked it. And he disliked cheaters and people that would cheat.
Oh.
Jean was able to tell them that the man was over 6 feet with sandy hair, sandy blonde hair, and an overlapping front tooth. There was a bite on Patricia's body, and it seemed confirmed that the killer did have overlapping teeth, the person that killed her and bit her, as well as Jean saying that Bible John had an overlapping tooth. All of Bible John's victims were between the ages of 25 and 32. They were all brunette and had met their killer at the Barrowland Ballroom. Due to the brutality of the crime and with nearly no leads, the Crown Office authorized a composite drawing of the suspect to be released. By the way, this was the first time ever that that had been allowed. And I find that a little strange since it's 1969. That's pretty recent.
That's very recent.
I mean, considering. Well,
50 some odd years, but yeah.
Over 100 detectives were assigned to the case. Police would travel door to door seeking witnesses and trying to get some more information. Thousands of people would be questioned, and still nothing, Jen. Nothing. Officers were sent to various dance halls in Glasgow undercover to mix in with the patrons. See if they knew anything, see if anybody was, 6 foot tall, overlapping tooth by the name of John. Nothing.
Quotes Bible scriptures,
which
hates cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think somebody knows somebody. Let's not invite John to the party. You know how he gets. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's not a very common thing, I would think.
I've never met one. Have
Despite
you?
Despite all their efforts, the case was at a standstill and the case would go cold. All they could do was wait until he would strike again. But he never did. Not as Bible John, anyway. Dun, dun, dun. It has been 52 years since Bible John attacked, or we think. Who can be sure?
That we know of, right.
That we know of. He might have changed up his way of doing it since that hit the papers and everybody knew. Beware John, who quotes Bible verses. There's been plenty of theories as to who it was and why this gentleman made murder his work. So now we're going to take a look at a couple little theories here.
Okay.
Some believe that serial killer Angus Sinclair was responsible. Sinclair's brother-in-law and wife lived on the same street as Patricia Docker. So this made it possible that he knew her. What did Sinclair do? Let's dive in. And these are brief little snapshots of, yeah, what they did. Let's start on the evening of October 15th, 1977, when 17-year-olds Christine Eady and Helen Scott were at Edinburgh's The World's End pub. And the two of them had departed the pub right at closing. They were in there having a good time, 17 and in a pub. What could go wrong? There, it's different than it would be here, I'm sure. So by all standards, people did see them at the pub that night and could say that they left together at closing. However, neither of them would arrive home that night. Christine's body was found in Gosford Bay. Helen's body would be found some 6 miles from Christine's. Both teens had been tied up, beat up, and raped. Each were strangled to death. Their deaths became big news in Scotland, with several witnesses informing authorities that the two girls, the two teens, were seen sitting with two men that night talking in the pub. Still, police were unable to find a killer. These murders would become known as the World's End Murders. Now, amazingly, they were murdered in 1977. It would stay cold until 2007. Ooh, that's a long time.
That's a very long time.
In 1977, a cold case unit took a look at the case using DNA, which produced a profile of a male that was found on both of the teens. The DNA of the original 500 suspects was analyzed and compared to the new sample, but there was no match. So the suspects that they had and they had taken the DNA was back in the day compared, there was no match. However, in 2003, police connected the same DNA sample to a partial match of over 200 profiles. You know, it's getting smaller. Mm-hmm. After winding those down in 2004, Angus Robinson Sinclair was detained and he gave his DNA for examination. In 2007, he went to trial for the murders. In a shocking development, he was acquitted of the girls' murders.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. At the time, Scotland had the double jeopardy law, much like mm-hmm. we do here in the States. However, dun-dun-dun, that law was amended. So in October 2014, he was once again put on trial and was convicted of both of the girls murdered. Murders. Huh. Both of the girls' murders. He was sentenced to life and died at age 73 in 2019. He had also been responsible for a series of rapes and murders, but those were the ones he ended up doing the most time with. Another suspect by the name of John McInnes was brought up. Now, he was cleared by the Crown in 1996. However, his DNA was taken, but it was shown to be inconclusive. John would die by suicide in 1980. Up next is John White. This is a little odd for me, just mm-hmm. saying. The suspect was brought in and interviewed in 1969 and was cleared as his teeth did not match the bite mark. He did look a lot like the sketch, but after speaking to police, he disappeared. It seems
what?
John White, yep, it seems John White lied to the police and he gave them a fake name. His name was not John White. Guess what? After
was
he disappeared?
Bob White?
No. No, Jim. The man claiming to be John White disappeared and has never been located. Ever.
Really? Mm-hmm. Just vanished.
Just vanished. But he wasn't really John White, so who knows?
Yeah.
Former police officer and author Paul Harrison wrote a book, and the book was titled Dancing with the Devil, The Bible John Murders. Now, Paul had trained with the FBI on killer profiling, criminal profiling, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And he has always maintained that a former police officer was responsible. The police officer did those murders in Glasgow, and then he moved and now lives in the Highlands. Is he? I don't know. Check out what he has to say. Now, finally, the suspect that most experts believe probably was Bible John is a name that's going to sound a little familiar. He is a notorious killer. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Peter Tobin. Does that ring a bell?
Mm-hmm. It actually does.
So Peter Tobin was in Glasgow at the time of the murders. He was living there. Little background on Peter. He was jailed for 21 years for the murder of Angelika Kluck in 2007. Peter Tobin had killed the Polish student while working as a handyman under the alias Pat McLaughlin at a St. Patrick's Church in Anderston, Glasgow. So that works. A little bit about him, a little bit more about him. Another thing that is similar is that, remember, Jean had said that Bible John had an overlapping front tooth and Helen had been bitten. Well, there was people that knew Peter Tobin, and they had stated that the suspect had one tooth missing in his upper right area of his mouth, and Tobin had a tooth removed around the late 1960s.
Huh.
Prior to Peter Tobin's first murder conviction, Tobin had served 10 years in prison for a double rape committed in 1993. He was released in 2004. In 2007, that's when he ended up going to prison for the murder of Angelika. Skeletal remains of two other women who went missing in 1991 were found at his home. Tobin was convicted of the murder of Vicki Hamilton in December 2008 and sentenced to 30 years plus, and for the murder of Dinah McNichol in December 2009. Peter Tobin was devoutly religious and was a practicing Roman Catholic. Authorities suspected Peter Tobin was driven to violence by the menstrual cycle?
Huh?
Question mark? Yes, it's true.
I know it makes me a little unruly.
Mm. August 9th, 2012, Peter Tobin was taken to Edinburgh's Royal Infirmary after suffering chest pains and a suspected heart attack. In February 2016, he was hospitalized again following a suspected stroke. Today, the case of Bible John is still unsolved. It is Glasgow's boogeyman who is responsible for the largest manhunt in Glasgow, among other things. It has spawned many conversations and theories as to who he was and what he did. But so far, today, we still have no more answers. And that is the story of Bible John, Jen.
Wow.
It's not a lot to it because, I mean, I'm sure there are.
They don't know much.
And
the whole menstruating thing is
well, and here's my
weird.
Question. I didn't read the book. Like I said, these are quickly researched to meet 12 days of 12 episodes, which, as you know, is quite daunting, Jen.
Yeah.
How did he know that those women, how did he know they were menstruating? Do you see what I'm saying? How did he know that they were on
that,
their period?
I mean, now people are very outspoken about it. And
but I don't even think that would come up in a bar. You're not talking to somebody and say, hey, I'm on my period, right?
Hey,
like, how does
that
even come up?
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I have questions. I need to figure that out.
I have a lot of... Yeah, they need to figure out who he is so we can ask and find out. Because that is... I don't understand...
How he would know that.
How that would work.
Unless there were other murders in there, but I doubt it because I would think that these were so similar and they were all picked up from the same place that if there were other murders, you would think that they would be able to connect those to these.
Or they went to go have sex and that's when he found out and he got upset about it.
Think so.
And the women that weren't menstruating, it would be fine. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good point. That there's a good point,
you know what I mean?
Jen. That's a
and
good point.
And he would go fly off the handle. Maybe he, since he was religious, he thought women that were menstruating were unclean.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
Possibly.
I would say that you got it.
Maybe.
I would say you're correct.
Should I call Scottish Yard? Or
I think that
Scotland
they would love
Yard?
To hear from Jen from our True Crime Podcast here in St. Louis, Missouri. I think they would love, hey, I solved it for you. I solved it. You're welcome.
Why
I know
don't
it's
you
been
look for men? Yeah.
50 plus years, but I got you. Here you go. Right?
They'd be I've like, been some doing some thinking on Bible John, y'all.
Yeah, they'd go over great.
I'm sure they'd welcome all the help they can get from me. Yeah, I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
No, that makes sense,
cuff,
though.
But
see, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, how did he pick up, like, he...
Because if it was at the barrel place, they would go there to pick up people to have sex, correct?
Mm-hmm. On the over 25 nights.
Right. And so that's...
When only adults could be expected. Yeah. And I laughed because 25 is an adult, really? Because, I mean, it is, but it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. That would make the only sense to me. But then again, like I'm not known to have sense.
Because I was thinking, how did he pick them out? Like, did he just zone in? Was there something that he could smell or see? Or
no,
I don't know.
I would think that it would be that he would go to have sex with them. And
that makes more sense to me. He would be angry.
They would stop. Yeah. And he would get angry and kill them. Hmm. Because that's the most rational way to handle that situation.
Totally. Of course. And that makes sense, too, if you think about it, because Patricia Docker was found two streets away from her house, meaning maybe he was walking her home, and then they got a little
frisky.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Close by. So, Jen, I think you solved it. Now, if you could just figure out which guy it was, that'd
Who
be great.
Who it was?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Kudos to you.
I'll get on that. I'll do that in my spare time.
Would you? That'd be great. So, that is day three, Jen.
Awesome.
Three through three. Good job.
Interesting. I'm going to go home and solve it now.
Well, I think you should, but you know, go get on my computer. You solved the question I had, but we still need to know who the guy is. And Peter Tobin, by the way, has steadfastly denied that he did not have anything to do with this.
Yeah, I mean, hasn't he admitted to like 50, and boasted, I should say, or is like in jail, that whole jail boasting thing. Mm-hmm. But you would think that he would say.
I don't know, though.
Secrets they do like
yes and just weird things like that one killer that you were profiling and he's like well I am not the Green River Killer as if that's worse than what he was doing both killing people you both
have the same MO
I would love like if I could ever do anything I would love to just ask them lots of questions but see I would fall for their lying and stuff and then be like oh, I think he's innocent like I Right? I believe
You'd be
the best
too
in people.
Afraid to even go into jail to
Well, okay,
to
in
him.
My head, I would be, it would be far away. They wouldn't know my name. It would just be like, hey, this person has questions. And then I'd get to ask questions.
Right.
But that's not, I watch shows. I know that's not how that works. Sometimes they want to win your trust over to have things on you. And I don't like that. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. Meaning like you have to tell them stuff to get them to trust
tit for
you.
Tat type thing.
Mm-hmm. Quid pro quo, Clarice. Right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
I know Hannibal Lecter. I know how it works. I've seen it.
You do. You're smart. SMRT. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So anyway, Jen, that was day three for you. And so, I guess tomorrow we have day four.
We do have day four. I hope everybody's started shopping at least. And I hope everybody's going to have a stress-free holiday. We are hoping to have the same. So...
That's not going to happen, but that's okay.
It never
does.
I know.
Don't take that out. Whatever it is, whatever happens, it's all about being with family and loved ones and having a day or two off.
To relax and eat really good food. Exactly.
And I hope, and I always say this, I hope it snows. There's nothing like snowing on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It makes me so happy.
I could take it or leave it.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't bother me if it snows or not.
It makes me so happy.
I don't like snow, so.
I love it. It makes me so happy. Like going outside and you can like hear the snow hitting and it's like silent. I love that. It's silence. I love it. I'm going to move north as soon as I become rich and get a castle in the south of France. Whenever I
north of France.
Find a treasure
chest.
Yeah.
Buried treasure.
Yes, but my time's running out, right? I need to do that sooner than later, so I better get on that, Jen, today.
Better go get you a map. Get you a treasure map.
Where's the map? I'm sure there's some for sale on eBay.
Where's the map?
There is a couple treasures in the world, apparently, supposedly, you know. Maybe I'll look that up. I'll do that over Christmas break.
That's what you do in your free time?
What else can I do? That'd be great.
Sounds like a plan.
Actually, I'll break that news to family at Christmas. I am going traveling to find a treasure.
I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to become a treasure hunter. I'm sure that'd be fine.
I'm sure your family wouldn't freak out or anything. I'd be like, oh, sure you are. Sit down. All right, Jen, that's it. Till tomorrow, remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya.
Happy holidays.
To you.
That's it.
Today's episode was researched and written by me, Cam. For more information about this episode, as well as all the sources I used, please check out our show notes or the podcast website at ourtruecrimepodcast.com. Our True Crime Podcast is developed and created by hosts Jen and Cam. Original music and audio mix of all our True Crime Podcast episodes is courtesy of Nico Bertese from We Talk of Dreams. Listener discretion is provided by Edward October from October Pod VHS. Our True Crime Podcast is executive produced by Nico Bertese and Dick Bain. Make sure to like and subscribe to Our True Crime Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We can be reached on Instagram and Facebook at Our True Crime Podcast or on Twitter at Our True Crime Pod. You can email us at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. If you really like the show, make sure to check out our Patreon at Our True Crime Podcast. Our True Crime Podcast is an OTC production.
Hold on 1 second. Listen. Can you hear that?
Oh my God, he's so cute. I love him so much. Jumped in my lap.
Sorry, Nico.
It's okay.
That's well, Chad.
Hi, Chad. I love you, Chad. Boy, he's so lucky you guys got him. Seriously. I would send hate letters to that place you got him from, by the way.
Oh, but that's just I think me. They starved him, or he was starved. I've never had a cat that would eat that so much food. Like, he steals food off your plate if he gets close enough to you. Like, he drug a bagel off Hadley that's or so off cute. Harper's plate. Mm-hmm. Like, poor an bagel. Entire half of a bagel. The cat took
no
off
bagel, no bagel too big. That's mm-hmm. his motto.
And if he weighs 3 pounds, maybe five. Yeah. And he took an entire half a bagel.
So let's start on the evening of October 15th, 1977, when 17-year-olds Christine Eady and Helen Scott were at
Edinburgh.
Is it Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
It's like Edinburgh. Hey, brah. Hey, Edinburgh. Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. Hey, Edin, hi, brah. Okay.
Edinburgh.
Because Edinburgh, Scotland. Yeah, Edinburgh. I always said Edinburgh. Don't listen to me.
Well, that's Americans do, but it's Edinburgh.
Okay. I wish I could just put your, like I'd be reading it and then you, like, I'd tap your word and mm-hmm. you'd go, we're at
Edinburgh.
The yeah. world's end. Yeah, I wish I had that.
You know, we once got my nephew books on a video that would put his name in it. Mm-hmm. It was and then they were when they were at the party, Tom said that they could and then Tom went to the pantry and got yeah.
That's hilarious. Really mm-hmm. But it's cute. It'd be even more special if your name was Camille.
Tom.
Right?
No, I know, but they just recorded the name once and stuck it in everywhere it went. It made me laugh. But when you're three, it's the most exciting thing
big
in the world.
Day.
Exactly.
Oh, they're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. All right.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.